Good morning. It is always a terrifying prospect to get up here and just tell you what I've studied and what I've enjoyed in the last couple of weeks. And what I'm doing this morning is I'm continuing the journey that we're on as an assembly. Last month, Brent took us the first couple of chapters of Exodus, where we learn a little bit about Moses, and we are going to basically tag along in this tour, and we're going to see what the Lord does with the children of Israel in Egypt, and then how he brings them out, and then we're going to learn a little bit about what happens in the wilderness as well. And so this morning, we're currently still in Egypt, and by the end of this message, hopefully, we'll be a couple of verses away from the great Exodus. So as we make our journey from Exodus chapter 1 to 12, which is what I'll do today, I will cover plagues and Passover. And the three main ideas, if you had nothing out of the next, 45 minutes, the three main points that I really want you to cement in your head is this: as I cover plagues and Passover, it's this. We see Egypt's ruin, we see God's remedy, and we see Israel's responsibility. So these are the three things that I just want you to really think as I go through this journey from chapter 1 to verse 12. So Egypt's ruin, God's remedy, and Israel's responsibility. So let's start our journey in chapter 1, where we won't turn to read there, but we notice that in the land of Egypt, there's a Pharaoh, and he's the king of Egypt, and we see that he notices how mighty the children of Israel are. They are mighty in strength, and they're also growing in numbers. And he wanted to do something about it. So the first thing he does, before that, the reason why he wanted to do something about it is he thought, if we enter into warfare, what would happen if they sided with the enemy? They could overtake us. So we see insecurity right there. Off the bat, he wants to neutralize their threat against the nation of Egypt. So what does Pharaoh do? He set taskmasters, and he puts them into harsh labor. And he kept demanding more and more out of the children of Israel. And that did not work, because what happened was children of Israel kept multiplying, and they kept growing in strength. And Pharaoh goes and tries another strategy to eliminate and to get rid of the children of Israel and suppress their threat. He tells the Hebrew midwives, if a boy is delivered on birth, kill him. And so did that work? No, the Hebrew midwives actually feared God, and they did not fulfill what Pharaoh asked them to do. So these attempts are all just falling. It's not working. Well, what's happening is, instead of it working, it's actually increasing the might of the children of Israel. It's also multiplying their numbers as well. So we see that in chapter 2, verse 23 of Exodus, that Pharaoh dies. And there's still no relief, because in verse 23 and 24 of that same chapter, we hear Israel groan and cry out to God, and he asks for help, right? So Israel here is in just oppression and in much burden and in affliction, and they groan and they cry out to God for help. So here God comes with an answer, and that's where we are in, that's where Moses comes in, and we hear God's answer in Exodus chapter 3, we'll read this, Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, to 10. So turn to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 7 all the way down to 10. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. And verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Okay, so here is God's response. God has heard their cry, their groaning, and God is, he knows what's going on in Egypt. There's oppression, and he prepares Moses and Aaron to first go to Israel, and to the children of Israel, and let them know that God has heard their cry. And once they hear that, they are in much joy, and they actually were told that they bow down and worshiped God once they heard that their cries have been heard and answered, and that the answer is Moses and Aaron going to be spokespersons for God, and they're going to visit with Pharaoh and ask for the children of Israel to be let go. Very familiar story for all of us. I grew up going through the story, and there are many wonderful Sunday school songs on "Let My People Go," and so I'm sure all that's kind of being played through your head at the moment. But I digress. But anyways, so we see that Moses and Aaron are prepared and sent to Pharaoh to ask for the release of the children of Israel. So let's turn to chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. And so this is Pharaoh's response to God. So Moses and Aaron go in behalf of God, and this is Pharaoh's response to God. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." Not a exciting or a good start for this mission of letting the children of Israel go.